Hi guys, this Upsides episode includes explicit content. Suicide and sexual abuse are discussed. Please continue to listen at your own discretion. The following is a phone conversation with my friends Jonathan and Kevin. At times, audio may not be as clear. Enjoy!
Hi guys, I'm Yessie and this is the Upsides. I am here talking to Kevin and Jonathan. Guys, say hi.
Hi.
What's up?
So basically, I wanted to kind of talk about mental health along the lines within the LGBTQ plus community. I haven't had, you know, that sort of insight myself, and I haven't been able to interview anyone else before. So I think it's good to reach out to that community and kind of talk about how mental health can affect and what there is and the resource that there is to kind of help with those situations. We were kind of talking about how we feel like maybe now more people are starting to talk about mental health, but not really because of social media. Like, people have all like this facade. I don't know if you want to add to that, Kevin.
Well, yeah, I agree. There's always a certain, always comes to a certain extent where I guess nowadays everybody's so open with everything, but they still hold back on certain things.
But yeah, as far as your experience, like, how do you feel? Like, Jonathan, like, I know you had said, like, you're pretty open with, like, sharing stuff on social media, but do you feel like you share those kind of, like, dark moments as well?
I mean, as far as my social media presence goes, like, I'm very present on Instagram. Like, I don't really put myself on Instagram to gain attention or anything like that. Like, I value the relationships I've established with people that I know, people that I don't know, people that I'm meeting for the first time. So, you know, I really try to keep it, you know, more along the lines of comedy. Mm-hmm. And just, like, maybe making people laugh and disrupting people's, like, regular everyday thought process. Like, putting something out there, like, okay, if a shark were to do cocaine, where would it do cocaine? With its gills or its blowhole? You know, use that as an example. As bizarre as I may like to be, that's as bizarre as it probably gets. I mean, sharks obviously don't do drugs because they're against that. But that's another subject. No, but I try to keep it lighthearted, and I try to keep it along the lines of that where it's just ridiculous. I don't really show my vulnerabilities on social media. You know, there are times where I'm just like, oh my gosh, like, this person did me wrong. Can I curse?
Yes, of course.
Okay, so this person, like, totally fucked me over, and, like, I want to show the world that, you know, this person's a piece of shit without actually pointing fingers at the person and saying, hey, this exact person is a piece of shit. But every now and then, like, I'll put something out there, like, whether it's a meme or, you know, something that kind of just, like, takes the edge off a little bit. But mm-hmm. I don't really try to go to that, like, oh, I'm sad, oh, like, I'm having thoughts of, you know, this, or the world sucks and whatnot. And if I do, I mask it with humor. Like, I think that it's healthy to laugh at these things and to laugh at these negative thoughts from time to time. Mm-hmm. You know, especially with all the crap that we go through from day to day, you know, whether it's having to pay off student loans, or, you know, like, and knowing that you're not going to pay those student loans off until the year 2083. Like, right. I don't know.
Social media is kind of like therapeutic in a way, because you kind of see it as an outlet to just laugh.
That's how I see social media. I don't take myself all that seriously, but I know people that do take themselves seriously, where, you know, I've had friends where they're like, oh my gosh, I can't post this because my followers aren't going to like that, or I'm not going to get the most engagement out of it. And that's where, you know, going back to my original statement, where I feel that people are so caught up and strung up on the whole thought of, you know, creating this facade or creating this personality, and where they're perfect and they're always smiling and they have the washboard abs and they have the perfect hair and the perfect makeup. And they don't want to show those vulnerabilities. You know, they don't want to show that, like, hey, you know, I cry myself to sleep from time to time, or I'm actually really lonely, you know, despite the fact that I have several thousand followers. Because people don't like showing weakness, you know, and once they show weakness, it's like you're opening the floodgates. At least people may feel that they're opening the floodgates for people to critique them or to criticize them. So that's why they put up these social media presences to show people like, hey, you know, I'm hot. I'm happy. I have the perfect boyfriend. I have the perfect life. I go on vacation every month. I go on vacation every week, you know, because I guess people live for that validation from others. And yeah, that's what I got to say about all that. But I don't think that it's unhealthy to show that, you know, like I don't agree with going on social media and saying, oh my gosh, my life sucks. Like no one really wants to read that, as selfish as it may sound. But, you know, I also feel like people, you know, want attention.
Most definitely. And not only attention, but they also want to be, you know, feel accepted, especially on social media.
Yeah.
But I call it, now that I gathered myself and kind of seen where I'm at now, I'm sorry, you know, just but yeah, going back to that, I am very vocal now with my vulnerabilities than I was before. Of course, me and Yessie, we go way back. And
actually go way more back with Jonathan.
Oh well, yeah, I know. Well,
oh, that's true. Well, there you go, sweetie.
Well, I mean, this, yeah. All right, timeline, yes, but just like history wise, Yessie and I, we have more history. Maybe, I don't know. Possibly, whatever. Okay.
So. Yes, yes.
So, like going back to like my childhood and stuff, like I didn't have quite the best childhood growing up. I was molested by a family member for a lot, for going on for a few years. My household, my mother and brother weren't the greatest role models as well. My mother wasn't really the motherly type, and my brother wasn't the brotherly type. So growing up for me, I had to become independent at a very young age. Mm-hmm. So even just like, I never used to speak about, you know, what had happened to me and all this and that. And when I think the moment I finally realized that it's okay to start talking about it was, I was in this bar up in Orlando. I was with one of our friends, Matt. I was with Matt. We were talking outside, and he was just like, you know, telling me everything, how like, everything that I was going through, and I was explaining to him. And then just by me just telling him my experience, there was a girl that happened to be next to us, and she just turned to me and she says, "Wow, that has happened to me too. And you're the first person that I'm ever telling this." Mm-hmm. And I was like, holy crap, you know, like this happens and no one talks about it. And
right.
Like, that's when it really hit me. I was like, you know what? Like, I'm no longer going to, like, you know, be ashamed of it, because for a very long time I was ashamed of it, because I felt like I felt like I wasn't worthy or anything because that happened to me. But again, that just goes back from a very, you know, dark time in my life. I was able to come up from it. I accepted what happened. I know it's not my fault, you know. But
do you think, like, you accepting that and kind of, like, speaking out about it kind of led you to identify, like, your sexuality?
Well, so with my sexuality, what it comes to is, growing up, I've always found both attractive, both sexes attracted, but in my mind, I never had the thought of doing anything with a man. Never crossed my mind, because, you know, growing up, especially in a Latin, you know, home, it's always like, oh, you're supposed to be with a girl and this and that, blah, blah. So that's how it was, you know, set for me. And then until I had the opportunity of when I had a gay friend of mine just come up to me and ask me, he's like, have you ever done anything with a guy? And I was like, no. And he's like, well, would you want to? Of course, there was alcohol involved and all this and that. But I said, why not? I ended up liking it. And I was like, hey, okay, so I guess this is my sexuality. And I just kind of rolled with it, you know. Ever since that happened, I've embraced it. I've never hid from it. I've told everyone, like all of my close friends, I told them right there and then. Yeah.
But I'm sorry. I don't want to overstep as like moderator because I'm
no, you're good.
But do you feel that like your experience in like, you know, being molested that did not
Okay, so that's all right. So that's one of the reasons why I never told my mother. I never wanted her to know because I knew she was going to blame that happening for being who I am today.
Right. A lot of people do that.
Granted, I will say that that happening to me probably did open up my mind. But I'm not blaming it. Like, if it did alter me, then you know what? That's was meant for my path and I'm accepting it. But I'm not blaming it.
Okay. And it wasn't like traumatic whatsoever.
I'm sorry?
It wasn't traumatic whatsoever.
Happening? Wait, hold on.
No. Not when it was happening. I mean, when as you were older and then you found out that, you know, you also like men, like it wasn't traumatic in that sense. Like it didn't, you were just like kind of, you just already like forgot about it and you're not really thinking about it anymore.
It happened. So when I was molested when I was around 7. And it happened for about like 3 years. And I think like around when I was 13 years old, that was when I was going through a really tough, like, I didn't know what I was going through. And like, I even contemplated, you know, committed suicide twice. First time I failed at it because I didn't know the human body will not allow you to drown yourself. And the second time when I tried it was I actually, well, I've never told anyone this, but I'm going to tell you guys, and obviously the rest of the world's going to hear this, but I have a dagger tattoo on my left forearm in the bottom, and it points up at a little scar that I still have because I was going to, like, cut myself from there, and when I stuck the knife in, I stopped, and I, like, you know, realized, and I was like, you know, is it worth me doing this? And I stopped. I, you know, got my shit together. And I was just like, no, I can, you know, I don't deserve to die because of everything that's happened to me. So I'm just going to keep moving forward. So, yeah.
No, I mean, you obviously, like, you valued your life. And, I mean, as far as what I knew, like, from our friendship, like, you've always been a very cheerful person and very positive, and you're always there for your friends. So, I mean, I think that you definitely survived your trauma and you haven't let it stop you.
No, yeah, that's something that I've always pushed myself towards. Like, I pushed myself to accomplish because my mother and my brother, they're like the complete opposite of what I am. And I've always said when I was younger that I'm going to be and strive more than them. Like, I do not want to be, you know, anything compared to what they are to me. So I've always pushed myself and I was like, you know what? I'm going to be there for my friends, even though I know I never had anyone be there for me because someone might need it. So,
yeah. And I mean, me as a friend, like, you know, throughout our friendship, like, I've picked up on that from you, that like you're a very selfless person, and like I just want to say, like, I value your friendship, and I'm not just saying that because people are listening. I genuinely do value your friendship and the person that you are. And, you know, I feel that, you know, your story is so inspiring. You know, it may be a little grim or very grim, but, you know, there are so many people out there who don't have a voice, or there are so many people who are afraid of even coming anywhere near speaking up to speak on the things that they have been through. And not to say that what you went through wasn't bad, but there are so many other people out there that are going through, like, these horrible situations that we can't even imagine.
No, yeah, of course.
You know, and they're afraid to speak up, or they don't know to speak up, or they don't even know that, you know, what they're living in is hell, because, you know, everyone has different perceptions of, you know, what is normal. So, no, I think that, you know, what you just had to say was very moving and it was very inspirational. And I just hope that people can, you know, learn from, you know, your experiences and, you know, take that step forward into, you know, not feeling that, you know, they don't have a meaning or a purpose in life, or that, you know, what they've been through is enough to make them feel inferior to anyone else, because it's not the case. Yeah. You know, it's unfortunate the cards that were dealt, you know, sometimes, but it's very common for people within, you know, the LGBTQ plus community to feel the way that you felt once upon a time, where you wanted to, you know, end your life because of all the things that you've been through. And, you know, there are people who want to end their lives for other reasons that are related to, you know, their sexual identity. I mean, their sexual identity, their sexual preference, and all those other things. So,
yeah,
you know, I don't ever want, and this is something that, like, I've been looking into myself, not because I've been affected by this in a way that has given me thoughts of suicide, but because I know of people, you know, close to me who have, you know, ended their lives because they've not been able to overcome that fear of rejection, or that actual rejection. Yeah. Like, a lot of people go through that and they don't ever recover from those things. Like, you know, on the outside, on the exterior, people may act like things, like everything's okay, but you give them a couple drinks and you tell them that, you know, hey, no one wants to hook up with you tonight, and then it's the floodwaters. No one wants me, not even my dad, not even my mom. And you never know what's going to trigger people to act out a certain way, or to treat others the same way, or to even treat themselves a certain way. And it's amazing what, you know, one simple thing can do, what one gesture, what one touch point, you know, like, to whoever's listening to this right now, like, you know, like, you matter despite whatever you've been through. Like, there are so many other people that you can use your voice for good, and, like, who will be greatly influenced by your story, whether you want to stand on a soapbox and project it to the whole town, or whether you want to write about it, or whether you want to talk to your neighbor about it, or, you know.
Yeah, it's just you're simply as that. It's just like, even talk to your best friends, talk to someone you feel comfortable with, because, believe it or not, that person may be going through the same exact thing, and you have absolutely no idea.
Right.
So,
which happens to me a lot.
Which, I mean, I don't mean to deviate from this, but that's why I say so important for you to be, like, nice to people, you know, out in public. Whether, you never know anyone's journey or anyone's struggle or anyone's story. So, you know, when you do or don't do things like say excuse me, when you're trying to walk through a crowd, or when you don't say thank you, or when you do things like disrespect the person who's serving you your food, you don't know that person's journey. You don't know if they're on the verge of ending their lives. You don't know what's going on behind closed doors. And that one interaction that you had with that person took them a step further to feeling like worthless. They don't matter or worthless. So that's why I'm always like, treat everyone with kindness, damn it.
I just feel like we were kind of, at least, like, I was raised in a way of, like, we always, like, made fun of shit. Like, we laughed at everything. And I think, like, even now, like, it's hard. Like, I catch myself being kind of, like, rude in the sense of, like, making fun of people or whatever. And I'm like, crap, like, that's shitty. Like, don't do that.
Yeah.
But it's just so ingrained in us. Like, if we see someone, like, being a bitch or whatever, we're like, oh, what a bitch, whatever. And we don't think about, like, okay, maybe, you know, they're having a bad day or whatever, like, trying to, like, reason with them why they were, like, being shitty. Like, when people don't, like, if I'm opening the door for you and you don't say thank you, I'm going to be like, you're welcome. Like, but maybe, you know, they're just having a shitty day and I just need to get over the fact, like, I was the one who chose to open the door. They didn't ask me to, so. I don't know about if you guys have ever gone to see a therapist or not.
I'm in the works of actually getting that. It's long overdue. Long overdue because I am trying to create, or at least save, whatever relationship there is with my mother, because I do hold a lot of resentment.
And do you think, like, when finding a therapist, you would prefer someone who's, like, open, or, like, are you looking at specific things within your therapist, or you're just kind of like, whatever, whoever, like, I can see, doesn't matter?
Well, I've asked a few friends of mine who see a therapist, and they all tell me the same thing. Like, they all recommend me to, like, the same person.
Okay.
So I've been just going up word of mouth, but it's okay. Something that I'm in the works. I have to.
Because I feel like also a lot of times within the LGBTQ community, like they feel like maybe the person that like a therapist wouldn't understand them. So they try to seek someone who's also within the community. Do you guys feel like you would feel more comfortable with someone of the same within the same community, or doesn't really matter to you guys?
I, for one, have had a personal experience with this. Mm-hmm. On a couple of different levels. One of them was not as far as like mental health goes, but more like actual health, like body wise. Okay. I had a little scare not too long ago. I would say maybe about a year ago. And of course, anyone in the 21st century, the first thing they do when they notice that something is wrong with their body is they start Googling their symptoms. Mm-hmm. So they go on WebMD, they go on all these kinds of things. And I was like, oh my gosh, I'm going to die, basically. So what happened was...
Oh, that's right. I remember this.
Yeah. You remember this.
Sorry. I was like, wait, I think you told me the story. I'm sorry.
So basically... So I was being a little reckless with my recreational activities that involved members of the same sex. Mm-hmm. Trying to keep it PG here.
You don't really have to, but it's okay.
I had a little scare, and then I Googled my symptoms, and then I went to one of those urgent care clinics, and I had a couple of things in mind, and it was all STI related. And when I spoke with the doctor, and the doctor asked me about my symptoms after I had already like reported them and everything, the doctor was like, no, it's not that. You actually have, okay, out with it. I thought I had gonorrhea.
Okay.
And I did.
I love how you like whispered it already.
No, because I'm revisiting my memories from this time in my life. And I remember the fit of rage that I had with this fucking clinic, because I was misdiagnosed. And that's where I'm getting at right now. I was misdiagnosed. Mm-hmm. And when I told the doctor, like, hey, I think this is what it is, the doctor goes to me, he's like, oh, but did you have, like, sex, like, penetration? No, I didn't. Like, everything was strictly oral. The doctor goes, oh, you can't contract that if you're doing it oral. Like, how does that make any sense? And then, just from the little bit that I read, you know, about that, the symptoms and the STI, I was like, yeah, you can very much contract, you know, the clap, you know, orally. And I told the doctor that. He's like, no, that doesn't make any sense. And I'm like, all right, well, whatever. He's the doctor. I'm the guy who just researched this shit on Google. Fuck it. I'm the idiot. Really. So then I was like, you know what? Like, let me go in for a second opinion. And I went to another clinic. And they basically misdiagnosed me also. They're like, no, you have a irritation of your urethra, which is basically the same thing that the other doctor told me. And then I'm like, okay, whatever. I guess this was my second opinion. I'm overreacting. Let me just wait for, you know, for the test results, because I got an STD test done at the first clinic. At the second one, I don't recall if I did or I didn't, but a couple of days pass by, and then I get a phone call from the first clinic, and they're like, hey, your test results came in. If you want them, like, you have to come and pick them up. I left work early and everything because I was freaking out by what the hell was going down in my privates. So I went, and then they give me this paper, and I'm like, I don't understand any of this shit. Like, it was fucking Mandarin that was on this paper. And they're like, all right, well, if you want to speak with a doctor, you have to pay an extra couple dollars. I'm like, oh my God, fine. Like, if I'm going to die, just tell me when to fucking die. But shit. So whatever, I speak with the doctor, and this time the doctor that spoke with me was a different doctor than the last time. And what I'm getting at is that this doctor, I knew that he was obviously gay because of his mannerisms, the way he carried himself, the way he spoke, everything. If it quacks like a fucking duck, it's because it's a okay. So he goes to me, he's like, yeah, so it looks here like you have gonorrhea. And I'm like, well, shit. Like, and now I'm pissed because I was misdiagnosed twice. And then he's like, what do you mean they misdiagnosed you? I'm like, yeah, I told them that this is what I had. And then I explained to them, like, what I read on WebMD as far as, like, you know, contracting the infection. And then they're like, yeah, that's accurate. What did they say? And then I told them that the doctor basically denied those claims and discredited everything that I said. He's like, no, that is absolutely not true. You can definitely contract this that way. Right? Blah, 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 blah. And it turned out that, you know, besides the doctor already having several complaints against him, like when I was speaking with this doctor at the 24-hour clinic, you know, I felt like he was giving me peace of mind. Like he was like, no, like they should have given you a Z-pack in the first place, and they should have done this and they should have done that, because obviously what you have is an infection, whether it's an STI or not, it's an infection.
Yeah.
So, and I also know of like a number of friends that they have their primary care physicians or PCPs. And they also seek medical advice and medical attention from doctors who cater more to the LGBT community, because they do understand, you know, that we have different lifestyles, and because we live different lifestyles, you know, we're prone to like different things that are part of these lifestyles.
Yeah.
So I definitely feel more comfortable knowing that, you know, someone within my community that's a specialist, at least, even if they don't identify as, you know, a member of the LGBT community, at least they understand that, like, hey, you know, I had unprotected sex orally and I run the risk of contracting these infections. So
are you guys on PrEP?
I am not.
No.
I don't have enough sex for me to worry about PrEP. As lame as it sounds, I don't really, my sex life is not that interesting, and I just don't sleep with anyone either. I don't that's not the lifestyle I choose to live. And even if I wanted to, it's just not my vibe.
Yeah.
So yes, definitely it's better to have someone who kind of understands, even if they're not, you know, part of the community, that they do see like patients, and they're not, I don't know if like, was the first guy like older, the first doctor?
He was, and I don't mean to, you know, profile him a certain way, but like a little bit on my background, like I went to school for advertising and marketing. You know, I took this great interest in psychology, and you know, the two things coupled like hand in hand, like really opened my eyes to the way that, you know, like our cultures, our, you know, our backgrounds, the way that we're raised, all of these things have a huge influence on the way that we think and the way that we work and the way that we carry out our thought processes and whatnot. So I don't mean to profile or to segment this doctor, but he was an older heterosexual Hispanic male. And there's a lot of ignorance that comes. I mean, I don't mean to, you know, bash my own father, but my father is very, and I'm whispering because he's like in the next room. But, and so many people like him, you know, I work with men like that, you know, where they think that, you know, your sexual preference is a choice. It's not a choice. You know, people, they discredit a lot of the research and a lot of the things on, that are out there that, you know, science has proven and that biology and the study of all of these things have proven. So, yeah, I think that, you know, despite him being a medical professional, you know, I think he let his notions and his feelings on, like, sexual health cloud his judgment.
Yeah.
I kind of don't want to like stray too much, so I wanted to, we got a little bit of Kevin's story, and I wanted to get your story, Jonathan, as far as like when it was that, you know, you quote unquote came out, and like if you had support from your friends and your family.
Okay, so my come out story started with it started in fuck, it's just there's so many levels to this shit. Like I always knew I was different. You know, I always was attracted to, you know, like I at some point I used to like girls, believe it or not. Like I even had a girlfriend or two where I would like talk and flirt with girls because it was fun. I mean, flirting is fun, damn it.
It is. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that.
I mean, when you're trying, when you're leading someone on, it's pretty fucking shitty. But, you know, I always knew I was different. I always knew that, you know, I was attracted to boys and, you know, that was just part of me. But I started with coming out to my friends and that was in like mid ninth grade that I started like embracing who I was. And my high school had a lot to do with that because I was in a smaller high school with, you know, students that, you know, weren't really into like we didn't have any bullies in my high school. We didn't.
All right, you went to Tech, right?
Yeah, I went to Miami Lakes Tech. It was a magnet school. So typically when you're in an environment like that, like most of the students, most if not all the students, take their studies pretty seriously and they're not really there to fuck around. Like, you know, even though they do fuck around, they're not there to, you know, to be in the mess that is like the cliques and whatnot. Although there were cliques, but it wasn't, you know, anything crazy. But yeah, so I started with my friends. I opened up to them. And everyone was like, okay, yeah, cool, whatever, no big deal. And I was like, oh, that was easy. and then I never really opened up to my parents or my family members about it, especially not with my parents. It wasn't until several years later, like I had already, I think, I had already graduated high school. And I didn't really come out to my mom. I left this conversation open that I had with someone that I was with at the time, my at the time boyfriend, and it was this very like graphic argument. And my mom, like, since I left it open on my on AOL, know, it was in an open
on your AIM
on my AIM window.
What's your screening?
So yeah, so I was like, I walk into my room, my mom's reading this shit, and she turns around and she's like, what the fuck is this shit? And I'm like, I don't know, why you're reading my shit? And she's like, why the fuck did you leave it open? And I'm like, oh, fuck. So here goes, blah, 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 blah. There came the waterworks. And at first, she was not accepting of it at all. Like, I kind of, she went through different stages where, you know, she was like, this is wrong. And then she graduated onto the stage of like, you know what, fine, I'll accept it. I'm not okay with it 100%, but I understand why it's important to be okay with it. Then from there, she, you know, I started introducing her to my friends, and she saw how, you know, I was with my friends, and she saw how, which this is going to take me into a different thing, and oh my gosh, please don't kill me if I go too far off on tangent. But,
okay.
but, you know, my mom saw how she saw how I was with my friends and how I was going to school and how, you know, I had my full-time job and I maintained a healthy work-lifestyle balance. Because one of my mom's main fears when I came out was that she was afraid that I was going to be depressed because of her experiences with, you know, people within the LGBT community when she was growing up. Like, one of her cousins that she was really close to grew up depressed, and he was always crying because he was always bullied and because he was always this. And you can't blame our parents for looking out for us or for thinking the way that they think about certain things because of their experiences. And I don't hold that against my mom at all. Like, you know, she's not wrong. Like, a lot of people within the LGBT community are depressed, you know, for different reasons. Like, the reasons have evolved, but the reasons for being depressed are still there. So, you know, I always said to myself that I wanted to come out when the timing was right. I want to make sure that, you know, I've already graduated from school, that I have my job, that I'm a professional, because I didn't want to give my parents a reason to worry about me, if that makes any sense. So I felt I needed to prove myself and show that, you know, I'm not some loser bum that lives off the streets and that just so happens to be gay and mooches off of their parents. Like, for some reason, I was just bringing myself down and thinking the worst of the people within the LGBT community. But as if, like, all the prejudice wasn't enough to deal with, I wanted to eliminate that and just tell them, like, hey, you know what? Like, I got this. You know, I'm taking care of myself. I'm healthy. I have a good job. I'm supporting myself financially. I'm not depressed. Like, it's okay for me to be gay. Like, I feel like I need to check off all those things.
Yeah.
If that makes any sense.
It makes total sense.
Because they see it as a bad thing, you mm-hmm. know? And in reality, it's not a bad thing. It's been painted to be a bad thing, but it really isn't. Like, I was watching this documentary on Dr. Ruth, and she said this very profound, the sex therapist, she said this very profound comment, and it was, nothing in life is normal. Like, there is no definition of normal. She said something along those lines. And that stuck with me. And she also said that nature has this way of, like, creating beautiful things. Like, who are we to question anything and think it's a perversion? She said something along those lines. And that just solidified, like, everything that I have seen and everything that I've experienced as a 28-year-old, you know, Latino gay male, you know,
yeah.
And how far I've come, and, you know, my friends and everything. You know, I think about people who have negative thoughts and thoughts of suicide. Like, I just have a buddy of mine that, you know, we lost him because, you know, I don't want to speculate and say what the reasons were, but it's safe to say that, you know, it was related to, you know, his denial, or the denial that he faced as an adult when he came out to his family and everything. So I think of these things and I say, shit, you know what? Like, I didn't ask to be born. I didn't ask to be gay, but I am. So I'm here, whether you like it or not. You take it, bitch.
Exactly. There you go. Take it, bitch.
But,
yeah, no,
you know how you were saying you were waiting for, like, to check off all the boxes before, like, coming out to your parents? So you're saying it wasn't difficult, like, while being, like, in middle school and high school to not come out, like, it was fine. You were able to, like, kind of, you know, the friends that knew that you were gay and then the ones that didn't and your family that didn't, and you were fine with that?
Oh, no, not at all. Okay. In middle school, like, I was bullied. Like, I was, like, bullied. In elementary school, I was kind of bullied, but my bullying, like, peaked in middle school. And, you know, when you're the age that you are, where, you know, even before all these changes start happening to your body, when people tell you, like, oh, you're gay, you're a faggot, you're this, you're that, like, you don't really understand what any of these things mean. So all you know is that people are throwing these words at you very aggressively, and they don't make you feel good. You know, I don't remember ever feeling good when people said that I was gay, or that I acted like a girl, or why do I talk like a girl? Why do I walk like a girl? Or why do I buy girls school supplies? And why do I like Lisa Frank? And why do I love Britney Spears so much? I didn't understand these things, and I didn't understand how these things were not normal. Like, I just knew I liked the things that I liked, and that was it. Like, there was no questioning it. But then it got up to a point where I was like, shit, like, should I be ashamed of, you know, liking girly things and whatnot? And I battled with that for a very long time. And, you know, like, part of what I felt I needed to do was just, like, mask who I was. So, you know, I stopped buying the girly things. I stopped making it known that, you know, I like Britney Spears, or that I had a picture of her on the plastic cover of my binder. You know, I stopped buying the girly school supplies and all that other shit because I just wanted to, you know, disappear, if that makes any sense. Like, I didn't want to call that attention to myself because it hurt. And the attention that I was getting fucking sucked. And it made me hate going to school. It made me hate waking up. You know, not that I ever knew that suicide was an option, but because I really didn't even know that killing yourself was a concept. Like, I know I was that ignorant as a fucking 6th, 7th, 8th grader. Yes. But yeah, like, had I known that was an option, is that something that I would have, like, visited? I have no doubt in my mind that I would have visited that thought. But it was never easy for me. Like, even after, like, I came out to my mom and, you know, everything, like, I'm cool with my mom now. Like, she watches shows that cater to the LGBT community, you know, without even my consent. Like, the other day I walk in and she's watching the show on Netflix, I forget what it's called, with Ellen Page and all this other stuff. And they're talking about trans. There you go, yeah. They're talking about trans rights and all this other stuff. And they're, like, the gays bickering about whether it's okay to use the word faggot or whatever. And I'm like, oh my God, who gave you permission to watch this show? What did you do with my mother? So, I mean, we're cool there, but like with my dad, like the journey hasn't been all that smooth. And I'm lowering my voice a little bit because I don't know if he's listening or not, because he's probably in the next room. But, you know, to this day, like he'll, you know, we'll receive a calendar from the Mammy Heat dancers and he'll be like, oh, which one of these do you like? And it's like, bro, come on. Like, seriously? Like, the other day, he came to pick us up from the, my mom and I up from the airport. We went out of town for the weekend. And I drive around with the rainbow flag on my dashboard. So whenever he hops in my car, he has the nasty habit of taking it down and laying it down. So I was going off on my parents about some stupid shit. And then when I saw that the flag was down, I picked it up and then I stuck it in the air vent again for where it sticks out from. And I was like, and this stays here. And his response was, they don't pay me to promote them. And I was like, this motherfucker, did he really just say that? So, that's the shit that I'm dealing with now.
Well,
don't worry about it. You're not alone. You're not.
Yeah,
alone.
And at least I think you're making comedy out of it. So
you're not alone. Trust
but yeah, me. As I was doing like research about like the statistics or whatnot with mental health within the LGBTQ community, like I went to this website. It's www.gibnationalhelpcenter.org, which has like different like groups where you can like chat with people if you need help. And like the first thing I noticed that to the right on the top, there was an escape button so that people have quick access to like close down the page, which was crazy to me. Like, you know, people are that have like, there's that like precaution of like, if you're looking this up and then someone just happens to walk in and see what you're looking up, you can just like exit quickly or whatever.
Wow. That's, to, like, that's awesome.
That's page. Pretty awesome. And you know who else does that? And I hate to bring this up in the conversation, but I realized the other day I downloaded Grindr. I'm not a random hookup type of person. I just get bored and I like to see what new gay is in the neighborhood. But I download Grindr and then I see that you can search in incognito mode where basically you can view other people's profiles, but you're, and you can have a picture of yourself, but I guess you can like search through Grindr, but anonymously. So like it's interesting because like the Grindr, like I've met a handful of men who live very discreet lives where they're married, they have children, but they're gay, and you know, they look for their thrills on, they use apps like Grindr to find their thrills. So I find it interesting that, you know, so many, like we're seeing a rise in people in companies and in brands accepting people's want or need to remain anonymous or for discretion. And I think we need that because, again, you know, we don't know anyone's journeys. And, you know, we don't know what the impact of leaving a window open on a computer or on a mobile device exactly. is going to have to their social interactions. Or if, like, I passed my phone to a friend and I was just on that website that you mentioned, Yessi, and you know, I don't want them to think, oh, shit, like, you know.
Yeah.
We'll just do this for 2 minutes then. We're going to go with Kevin's song, which you said your song was Show Me Love.
Yeah.
Which I had to look up and I'm like, which song is this? And then I'm like, Robin-esque. Oh, yeah. So I found it interesting that you chose this song because most, like, all the lyrics doesn't really specify a gender.
Uh-huh.
Everything just says like somebody. So I don't know if that called your attention.
Yeah. Pretty much, yeah. The entire song is just something that I would always, like, I was always looking for in the sense of, you know, growing up. But then, so I just decided, just instead of, you know, keeping that negative energy, just to go ahead and change it. And if I can't receive it, might as well just show it and, you know, give it to whoever may need it. So that's why, you know, growing up, I listened to that song a lot. And I don't know if you guys have ever noticed, but if you ever, like, see me, like, at the club or wherever it is and the song goes off, like, I'll just go into it by myself. Like, I'll go in.
And then as far as your, like, within the LGBTQ plus community, for people who are not Hispanic, have they shared, like, their story and kind of mentioned that it was more or less the same when they came out?
I really don't know.
Speak,
Jonathan, speak.
So it's been different with every friend.
Yes.
Because I have friends that, like, their parents knew from the get-go that, you know, at a very young age, that their child was gay. And they were just waiting for that moment for their child to realize it on their own, and open up to it. And they've been accepting of it from the get-go, and they're still accepting of it today. And then I have friends that, you know, they haven't been in these homes where, you know, that sexual identity or that sexual their sexual identity or their sexual preference was accepted or welcomed, and they were basically thrown out the door. But I don't think it's varied. I haven't seen much of a variance in, like, heritage or nationality or, you know, background.
Ethnicity.
Yeah, that's the word I was looking for. I'm like,
I was thinking about it. My job, like, every day, and I had to look back at, like, my patient chart and what it is that I, like, the word in front of where I put it. I'm like, oh, ethnicity.
Like, I said nationality, damn it, and, like, background. I'm like, fuck, what's the word?
I was like, he's missing race, but it's not that one.
I haven't really, at least in my experiences, but from what I do read and what I do see, like, out on the scene, like, I know that within, you know, Black communities, being, you know, whether it's gay, lesbian, or anything, it's widely frowned upon.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess within the more conservative, within the more conservative groups, like in Catholic households, Christian households, mm-hmm. Really, the common denominator is obviously religion. You know, I'll be the first one to say it, because, you know, from the very young age, you know, our parents, you know, that was injected into their minds, and it was injected into their parents' minds, mm-hmm. because religion was basically this educational tool that was free and accessible to anyone. Like, it didn't matter whether you could read or you could write. Like, there was a church on every block. So religion seems to be the common denominator. You know, like, religion, church, you know, whether it was that you could read or you couldn't read or you could write or whatever, religion and the church was always open to the community. It served basically as a means of education, tool that it taught you on virtues and it taught you on, like, ethics and all of these other things. But what happens with religion is that, you know, it's been interpreted 1,000 times over several centuries, and everyone just deviates from it, and they pick and choose the things that they want to preach about, and, you know, it varies within each race. Like, you know, Hispanics, you know, have their loyalty to their religion, and, you know, it's all about God, and it's all about Jesus Christ, and it's all about this, and doing the communion, and the baptism, and the this, and the that, and when you get married, it has to be in a church, and all this other stuff. Like, it's ridiculous. I'm sorry. I don't care if I offended you. I have noticed that you know, within, like, at least my friends who have the male father figure, well, obviously male father, but who still have that father figure in their lives, you know, they, I have a handful that still struggle with them, like myself included. Right. You know, mothers are a little more accepting, and they're the ones who are always going to defend their child, even if, you know, the spouse disagrees with it. You know, even with my a couple of lesbian friends of mine, or they've struggled with their parents, you know, the father always seems to be that one person who's like, no, it's not okay to be gay.
Yeah.
That happened, well, like, the opposite with my dad, because my sister came out, like, I think it was 3 years ago. Uh-huh. 2 years ago, and what? He was like,
I didn't know this.
Well, she's bi.
What?
Yeah,
that's awesome.
And she, like, my dad was just like, okay. And she's like crying, and he's just like do whatever makes you happy, dude, like, it's fine. He's like, it doesn't affect me, it's your life, like, what am I gonna tell you, don't be bi. So, like, but then again, like, he's very chill, like he's Catholic, but he doesn't really, like, he doesn't really go to church or anything. He's just more like, you know, I believe in God and, like, I'll pray, but, you know, everyone has their own shit and everyone can do what they want. Like, I'm not going to go judge you for it. So I guess he's just, like, an outlier.
Yeah, I don't think it's fair to sit here and generalize that everyone that goes to church or anyone that, you know, believes, you know, or has the faith or following, like, I don't think it's fair to make that generalization where they all think the same. Like, there are your exceptions, and there are people who say, you know what, like, I love you despite, you know, who you are, where you came from. And I think that that's such a beautiful thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wish more people
were like
were like that. That'd be cute.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like, I know that everyone's experience, like, everything happens at a certain time for a reason. At least I believe that. But just, like, looking back, do you feel like things would have been a lot better for you mentally if you had been able to come out sooner?
I don't know if you want to talk for a bit, Kevin.
Well, for me to come out sooner, since my experience and my story is a little bit different from what the typical, you know, gay man would be,
or at least for you to know,
I think, you know, I probably clearer. Yeah, I would have preferred it to be a lot sooner rather than, how old was I, 24, I think, when it all happened, 24, 25 maybe. I'm 28 now, so it's what, 3 or 4 years.
I'm horrible at math.
To be honest, I would have preferred it to be to have happened a lot earlier, but nonetheless, I'm still happy where I am today. I do wish certain things went different, but I mean, you can't really control that sometimes.
I understand that, like, the circumstances, like, you can't change it, but do you think that it would have been better for you in, like, mentally, if you were able to come out sooner? And I say able because I know that like, at least in our childhood, it wasn't something that, you know, is, like, quote unquote normal. And so, like you said, you were bullied, and had you come out sooner, I think it would have been a lot worse. But if you were able, if bullying wasn't something that was around, do you think it would have been better for your mental health?
Hell no, I would have been a bigger slut. That would have been more hoeing years under my belt.
Oh God, yes. That is
no, so true. All jokes aside, I can't say, like, I feel like my journey, it wasn't the most perfect one, but it wasn't the most imperfect one. I really have no complaints. I wouldn't, you know, change anything about it. I mean, yeah, you know, there are some things that could be a little more favorable, like my, you know, dealing with my dad, for example.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but that's something that'll come with time. I've accepted that, you know, with him, it is what it is. And in time, you know, he'll with people like that, you know, you just have to like leave that subtle reminder there without being too aggressive.
Exactly. Just gotta let it be, but, and just let it
and
come.
Then just let them like come into it. It's like dealing with a cat. Like, you can't call a cat over and expect it to come right to you. Like, you just have to leave the food out, let them warm up to it, and like, you know, you can't go to pet them immediately. You have to let them sniff you. It's that's like the best analogy I can possibly think of. But no, I mean, I'm happy with my journey, and I don't know that, I don't think it would have made me a better person or made me more comfortable. I don't think it would have made me less comfortable either. You know, I think that right now we have a lot of things to our advantage, that are helping, you know, the LGBT community embrace themselves no matter what stage of your life you're in. You know, we have so many programs. We have all these pride festivals that are happening around towns, in towns that have never even uttered the words pride. Yeah. And I think that that's such a beautiful thing. You know, like, a lot of people bash rainbow capitalism, but I think that that, you know, is a beautiful thing also. Like, we have these giant brands that, whether it's for, you know,
To monetize
off of it or not, the fact that I can walk into a store and buy a fucking Nike shirt with the Nike logo covered in a rainbow, because Nike is my favorite fucking brand, because I've been wearing it for the past 20 years of my life, and I'm still gonna buy a Nike t-shirt anyway, I should be okay with that, right?
Right.
Yeah, definitely.
I hate it. I kind of like got upset a little bit at that with like heterosexual people were like talking bad about it. I'm like, dude, you're not even gay, so why do you care?
Yeah, it doesn't affect you anyway.
They're like, oh my god, they're taking advantage. I'm like, dude, shut up.
Of course they are. Like, my question to people, you know, and I don't want to discredit anyone's education, I don't want to discredit, you know, anyone's opinions and whatnot, but I just want everyone to take a step back and ask themselves, what business, no matter the size or scale of it, is not in it to make some sort of financial profit or gain off of the public? Like, I don't give a fuck who you are, whether you're a little girl selling lemonade on the fucking corner, you're selling a product or good in exchange for money so that you can buy shit and so you can live the life that you fucking want to, okay? And I get really passionate about this because, like, again, I'm in advertising and I'm in marketing, and I understand, mm-hmm. you know, how important it is to see, you know, these marketing messages out there and these messages that are being promoted by these brands that are constantly in people's faces and that have this great, massive, like, market penetration, where hundreds, if not thousands, if not millions of people see them on a daily basis.
Yeah.
You know, so this is just the LGBT community's way of infiltrating, you know, these companies and promoting the fact that, you know, we're here, we exist, you know, and whether the company is in it, you know, for whether we question the integrity of the company's interest in these initiatives, it's still happening. And you know what, like, I'll take it. It's better than not having it. And, you know, I just think about the impact of, you know, I don't know, say 8-year-old me walking into a Nordstrom or walking past an American Eagle Outfitters, you know, store, or an Urban Outfitters or whatever, you know, fucking company has rainbow shit on their storefront. The fact that 8-year-old me is being bullied, you know, in elementary school and middle school, is being called gay, a faggot, and this, that, and the third. Like, I revisit that part in my life a lot because I still, you know, I still have my moments of insecurity. But I think about me as a child walking through a mall and seeing all of these things and connecting that with the way that people treat me at school. You know, I can go back to school and be like, okay, yeah, you know, I'm gay. What's the problem?
What's the problem? Yeah.
Check out my Nike shirt.
Check out my Nike shirt.
Yeah, like, Nike has rainbow shit. Get with it, bro. You know, and it's silly, you know, and you think about it, and it's one of those things, kind of, it's like, you know what, it's a t-shirt, it's a this, it's a that. But when we think about the reasons why we wear, you know, the t-shirts that we wear with the logos that we wear, the things that we, it's the same thing, you know, it's just promoting a message.
Right.
And, you know, going back to what I was saying, like, we do have a lot of things that are in our favor that help us promote our message and help promote that message of inclusivity. And I think that that's a great thing. So I think that, you know, the, you know, consumer America and, you know, society, it's becoming a more accepting place for people to come out and for people to, you know, live their true selves and their true identities mm-hmm. without any regrets. You know, because there's, you look anywhere you look, there are people backing you up, whether, you know, it's a nonprofit organization, whether it's a hotline, whether it's, you know, a store in the mall, like, or whether it's a friend or a family member, someone supporting you.
Yeah. And that kind of leads me to, I guess, like closing statements, but like, what would you tell someone who's struggling right now? Like, I know that each one of like makes a decision whether or not, like, when is the right time to come out? Or do you guys feel like, you know, just do it now? Like, why wait?
It always ends up being why did I wait so long? Why did I wait so long? But at the end of the day, it's just whenever you feel comfortable with yourself. If there's anyone out there that's listening and, you know, that's struggling, it's just tell someone, just at least one person, because all it takes is just that one little step and someone, you know, it'll make it better. It'll help you breathe.
So before I get to my PSA though, my Insta story PSA for that matter. This wasn't broadcasted anywhere other than Instagram, but you know what helped me solidify me and my thoughts on who I was and my sexual preference and whatnot. It was during the MySpace days. And for those of you who don't know what MySpace is, it was a social network that was very popular where you create a profile, a picture, you get to add friends, you post bulletins, you comment on other people's pictures.
You have top aides.
You have top aides.
You have your top aides. You can add music to. It was basically.
Everybody was a master coder.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah. Those were the days. Like, what I know about coding is because of
MySpace.
Those MySpace code generator days.
Yes.
So I, you know, was doing my browsing on MySpace and I stumbled upon this one guy who I thought was very attractive. And I was like, you know what? Like, he seems, you know, pretty welcoming to, you know, a stranger talking to him about, you know, their sexuality and whatnot. So I did, and I spoke with him for a couple of weeks. And then he told me, yeah, bro, you're gay, basically, in a nutshell. I mean, as far as, like, people coming out, I don't want to say when it is the right or wrong time to come out. Like, you always know. Like, with my parents, I didn't really come out. Like, I was kind of dragged out. Like, when I said about, you know, my mom finding that conversation on AOL. So, you know, I respect everyone's journey. You know, what I don't respect is people who, you know, choose to live their life for the satisfaction of others. You lose yourself in that. Yeah. And I've met so many people who, you know, they give in to the demands of society where it's like, okay, marry if you're a male, you marry a female, you bear children, you this, you that. You know, and these men live these terrible, like, lives because, you know, they're trapped in a box where there's no escape. You know, they don't see a light at the end of the tunnel. It's just like, shit, you know, I'm waking up to this woman. I'm living this lie. This is not the life that I want. You know, I'm battling these demons. And you just make it a lot worse for yourself when you dig yourself a hole that fucking deep where you're marrying a woman and having children. Like, that is pretty selfish. Like, not just on your family, but, like,
yeah.
I don't know if I should be saying this, but it's pretty selfish on you also because think of the trauma that you're going to put all these people through.
Exactly.
No, and like it could lead to other things like substance abuse to try to like deal with the fact and like other unhealthy coping mechanisms.
Yeah, absolutely. And that kind of reminds me, I'm sorry, you just brought up like a perfect example. I don't know if you guys have been, do you guys watch Euphoria?
No, I haven't started. Sorry.
No, it's okay. Everyone's been ranting and raving.
I'm so sorry, but no, just because
there's like the 30th person to say, "Have you watched Euphoria?"
I'm sorry.
Today alone.
The show is by far amazing. It's real world stuff that's happening to kids, you know, today, and there is, you know, something similar that's happening to that. You know, I don't know I'm not going to get into
just
it.
Just don't spoil anything.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not going to really get into it because I don't want to ruin it for you. But in the sense of what you're saying, there is a father in the show that, you know, has a secret life. And, of course, his son finds out in the wrong way. And then, you know, you kind of see what happens of how his traits are, how his behavior, how everything is of him just growing up. So, you know, it doesn't only affect you, it affects the entire family.
Right.
Yeah, and what I've seen and what I've heard with a lot of men who, or well, just anyone who deals with these kinds of things, it's it's pretty common that, you know, the reason why they don't come out is out of fear, mm-hmm. you know, of rejection. And that's totally normal, you know, like, in life, not just with coming out, but with anything, you are going to be facing a lot of moments where your decision or you are going to be rejected. And that's okay. That's part of life. You know, whether you live to be, you know, 100 years old, or you live to be 50 years old, or you live to be 30 years old, or whatever, like, to the day you drop dead, you're going to be facing moments of rejection. Even after you die, like, people are going to be like, no, this person was wrong, or this person made the wrong decision, and blah, 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 blah. You know, like, these are the facts of life. And we understand that, like, family, we expect it to always be there for you. But we have to also understand that not everyone is going to be accepting at first.
Oh, of course. Yeah, that is.
At that mm-hmm. Yeah, like, at that moment, you're not going to. You're very lucky if, you know, you meet that person that says, you know what, I love you no matter what. But the reality is that you run the risk of that not happening to you. And when that doesn't happen to you, it's okay, you know, like, that's why I find it so important to, you know, solidify your relationships and your friendships with the people around you. Mm-hmm. Because when your family fails you, your friends are your chosen family, and they're always going to be there for you.
Yeah, that's
it. You know,
yeah.
They, and that's why, like, I love my group of friends so much. And I'm very fortunate. I know that a lot of people aren't fortunate to be around, you know, a solid core group of people. But, you know, that's the beauty of, you know, the gay community. And I see it, like, no matter what clique you're in, like, these cliques become family. Mm-hmm. Whether it's a group of gays, a group of girls, a group of girls and gays, or a group of straight men, gay females, whatever the case may be, it, you know, confide in your friends. Don't ever doubt them, you know. So, yeah, you know, it's, don't be afraid of being rejected.
Yeah, exactly. Don't be afraid. Like, how do you call it? Since my situation is different, my coming out to my mother, it was actually by choice. I didn't want to tell her. I had told everybody about my sexuality once I found out. But except my mother, just because it's not that I was afraid of finding out, of her finding out or her knowing. It's just because I knew the type of person that she is. She wouldn't be able to understand it, you know, she wouldn't want to move from it. So for me, it was, I didn't need the satisfaction for her to know, because again, we don't have much of a relationship. So I didn't want, you know, to burden her with more pain. Well, actually burning myself, because I'm just the one that's gonna be coming inside, you know, to come, you know, coming home and having to deal with her being, you know, even more cold or whatnot. But the reason why I came out to my mom was because I got into my first relationship with a man, and I told her that I was in a relationship with a man because I didn't want to be that guy that had to be lying to his mother of where he was going. If you guys understand me, you know, like, I didn't want to be like, oh, I'm going to my friend's house, or, because first and foremost, it's not fair for, it wasn't fair for my partner.
Right.
And I didn't want them to go through that. I mean, then again, I am this older, I'm old, you know, I'm 26, whatever, at the thing of the time. It's like little kid shit. It's what everyone says, but, you know, I kind of came out to her for him, but it wasn't in my favor. But then again, you know, everybody has, they choose their battles, and, you know, it's just, you got to do it the way you feel like you should do it. And I was happy at the time. I wanted to make sure that my partner knew that, you know, even though I don't have the greatest relationship here at home, but I just want you to know that I do appreciate you, and I don't want to feel, you know, I don't want you to feel like I'm hiding you, because that's not the case. So, you know, everybody has their choices of how they want to come out to the, you know, to certain people or whatnot, even if it's your parents or whatnot, but, you know, just think about yourself, think about the people who care for you, the people who are there for you, no matter what, you know, they're, it's just like Jonathan said, your friends are your chosen family. So,
yeah. Yeah, and every situation is unique. I mean, what works for one person may not work for the next person. So there's no right or wrong way to come out. Like, it's all about solidifying, you know, yourself and solidifying your feelings and, you know, really establishing that confidence where it's like, you know what? No, this is me. Like, you're either going to take it or leave it. I'm going to lose some people. I'm going to gain some people through this journey. And that's okay. It's scary as shit, you know. But in all honesty, it may sound like a cliche. And I know that people have said this time and time again, but it really does get better.
It does.
You know, at the end of the day, you want people that are going to be there for you. At the end of the day, you want people that are genuinely going to love you. Like, I have, you know, a handful of friends, you know, who, you know, let's say, for example, they're Jehovah's Witness. And, you know, because of the decisions or the choices that they've made in their life or things that have happened in their life, whether they've had control of them or not, like, they've been shunned by their families because of their religion. And this ties back to the whole religion thing. And it's a shame because, you know, from one moment to the next, it's like, all right, you know, I'm putting my love aside for this person because of my religion or because of my beliefs, and the person, both people end up suffering. I mean, one feels it more than the other, but it's a scary thing when your family rejects you, and I totally get it, because I've dealt with that for a long time, and thankfully, you know, everyone for the most part has embraced me, and if anything, you know, me coming out has strengthened my relationships and my connections with most, if not all, of my family members. But it's okay to be scared. Just, you know, everything in time. I'm a strong believer of, you know, asking inappropriate questions. I'm a firm believer in the power that asking these questions holds, because there's so much that we don't know about what we don't know. And it's okay for our curiosity to get the best of us, to the point where we're just like thinking the most ridiculous things, but it's fine. You know, that's a surefire way of really understanding, you know, something that we don't understand. So we really shouldn't feel afraid to, you know, hold, like, to ask certain questions. And we shouldn't be afraid to answer these questions or for these questions to be asked to us, especially within the LGBT community, because there are so many things that the masses or the public don't understand. And in all honesty, like, who better to teach people or educate people on the struggles of the LGBT community or what it is to be or to identify as a homosexual or to identify as whatever it is that you want to identify as. You know, it's important that we teach people on this, and it's important that we don't take offense to the things that people ask us. Like, I have people asking, you know, oh, so if two guys are dating, who's the guy or who's the girl in the relationship? And it's like, no, it doesn't really work that way. It's a very stupid thing to ask, but I appreciate
there's two guys, bro.
Yeah.
There are two guys.
It's two guys.
Basically. Two guys. You know, and I understand where it comes from because, again, like, growing up in a Latino household, you hear a lot of very ignorant things.
Your toxic masculinity.
Yeah, and it has a lot to do with toxic masculinity, right. And it has a lot to do with, you know, upbringings by our parents and their parents and whatnot. So, and of course, you know, what the media has pushed out, because you, typically, you know, what we've seen on TV depicted as a homosexual is a very feminine, sometimes tacky, fashion forward male who's over the top flamboyant and uses exaggerated hand gestures. So anytime that for a long time, people would, you know, see or hear that someone was gay, you know, they'd be like, oh, you know, even to this day, they're like, oh, you don't look gay, or you don't look, oh, I'm sorry, what was I supposed to
do? God, I hate that. I hate that.
You know, and what a lot of people don't understand is that, like, there are many different ways to be gay. Like, just because you're gay doesn't mean that you're always out on the scene at the gay club. It doesn't mean that you're at every pride festival or every pride event. It doesn't mean that, you know, you do the things that are mainstream within the gay community. And that's okay. You know, you don't have to live up to a stereotype or anything like that. But what I'm getting at is that, you know, when people ask these questions, or even if they're not asking these questions, like, be receptive to the fact that these questions are being asked. Like, you don't know how many times, like, I've interacted with the boyfriend of a female friend of mine that has never taken the moment to interact with a gay male, you know, where they're like, at first they're like, oh, hey, what's up? What's good? And then, like, I say some stupid shit, and then they start laughing, and then they warm up to me. I buy them a drink. They buy me a drink. We go home. We sleep together. I'm kidding. no, but then they start, like, with the dude, like, you're so fucking cool. Like, I've never interacted with a gay dude before. Blah, 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 blah. And I'm, in my head, I'm, like, cringing. I'm like, fuck. Like, here they are. Here we go again.
Here we go again. They're the same.
And then they start asking the stupid questions. And then I'm like, all right, well, you know, it's cool, like, you're not offending me, because they start with the dude, like, I'm sorry if you don't want to talk about it or whatever, which they're, I appreciate the respect, but then, you know, they start with the questions and I do the eye rolls in my head, and then I'm like, no, bro, it doesn't work that way, this, that, and the third, blah, 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 blah. And they're like, oh shit, I get it. Oh, so you know what, I kind of think that one of my friends is gay because blah, 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 he's never told me, and he's been acting really weird lately, and this, that. And I'm like, okay, whatever. I'm not a therapist. Like, I charge by you. If you wanted me to be a therapist. But like, be open to those questions and be open to answering them. Like, again, like, it's a lot of people get annoyed and they're like, oh, why are people asking me these stupid questions? Like, I'm tired of being asked these questions. No, damn it. You're an ambassador for your fucking community. Damn it. Okay. And even if you're going to be sitting there answering the same question to 100 people, you're going to give those 100 people the same fucking answer.
You do it. You do that, Lady Gaga.
There could be 100 people in the room.
I have yet to see that movie and I refuse to.
Oh God, don't watch it. It's terrible.
Don't watch it.
But yeah, the only thing, recently, sorry, but, like, I do kind of, like, I've been getting people, like, saying things, and I also, like, I don't really understand it fully, so, like, I try to, like, research now is, like, with the non-binary individuals and, you know, the they pronouns, and, like, it has been difficult, and a lot of people, like, you know, they do the thing where, like, ah, you know, everyone's so sensitive now, like, why do we have to adjust how we talk to people? But it's just, like, we're also evolving, so, like, we should make an effort to learn about it and educate ourselves, or if not, you know, ask someone regarding, like, you know, what do you prefer? Like, I have patients who are transgender, and, you know, they prefer a different name when they're called, but, you know, their ID still says another name, so I make a note, like, okay, don't call them this, like, call them by this, and then I can tell that they feel better, like, they feel acknowledged and more comfortable when they're coming to see the doctor, because, you know, they're being what's the word, like they're being acknowledged. Acknowledged. Yeah.
I mean, I would say I'm receptive to the change. I understand, you know, in our century now that we live in, everything's changing, there all these possibilities are coming up. I'm open to it. I am, you know, not opposed to any of it. But the only thing that really bothers me is to these specific people who are changing these pronouns, when they get upset to people, when they get, you know, upset towards people for getting it incorrectly. And it's like, okay, you know, this is something brand new. You need to be open that people are going to be messing up your pronouns, because just as confusing as it is to yourself, it is to everybody else. Like, I had a situation where I misuse a pronoun to someone and they went off on me, and I'm just like, whoa, okay. I'm sorry. I did not know you were a they, but thank you for letting me know, and now I will address to you as a they, which I don't know how to, but, you know, I will. So that's the only thing. It's like I'm 28. I've never encountered that in my life. How do I do
right
that?
So like it still happens within the LGBTQ community.
Yeah, it
so
happens within, oh yeah, yeah, definitely. Definitely within the community itself. But I mean, if you know, if I can just say anything, it's just be patient. Don't automatically assume that everyone is just not gonna want to call you what you are. It's just they don't know.
Yeah, I have to second that. And I don't mean to be laughing at it, but it's just, and pardon my ignorance, I'm really not coming from an ignorant place. I'm trying to come from a place where, like, I want everyone to be understanding of each other. Yes. Like, understanding is not a one-way, one-direction thing. It's a two-way street. You know, so you have your people who are getting upset at people for not addressing them correctly. And then you have these people getting upset at people who want to change the way that they're addressed. Because let's face it, you know, as ignorant as this may sound, we have so much shit on our plates that we need to learn about. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. On a day-to-day basis, whether it's at work, whether it's about our children, whether it's about our parents, whether it's about this, whether it's about that. In all honesty, you know, the way that the human mind functions, or the way that like society functions, is if it's not affecting me directly, I will not invest my time in it.
Yeah.
And not to sit here and say that you are any less of a person because, you know, you're not being, you shouldn't be addressed the way they want to be addressed. I wholeheartedly agree that, you know what, if you want to be addressed a certain way, you deserve to be addressed a certain way. But it's not fair to get upset with people because you're not being addressed the way that you want to be addressed. Because, again, like, not everyone has dealt with a gay person. You know, so when I travel, when I go to places, you know, I kind of have to tread lightly and be like, all right, you know what? Like, I may freak someone out because I'm wearing shorts 2 inches above my knee than they probably should, you know, because people aren't used to seeing that. Like, if you go to, you know, anywhere in middle America and you go dress the way that you would dress to go to the beach here in Miami or the gay beach, people will look at you like you have three heads.
Yeah.
And again, it goes back to the whole thing about normalities and things that are normal. Like, we only perceive the things that are normal as the things that we're used to. And if you're not used to something, you're going to be seeing that thing as abnormal. And what do people do to things that they see as abnormal? They reject them.
They reject it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And it's not a fair thing to do. I don't support that behavior, especially me being who I am, but I understand where it comes from. Okay. So then that's where I go back to my PSA, where I'm like, all right, you know what? Like, let's take the time to educate people, or like, no matter how tiring or exhausting it may be, you know, it's important that we tell our stories, you know, and we explain to people and we teach people any which way that we can. Like, you know, we don't want to be obnoxious about like, I'm triggered, don't call me a this because I'm a that, blah, 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 blah. Like, no, that's not the right way to go about rectifying the situation. You know, yeah. Just, you know what? It's fine. I got that a lot, you know, but hey, this is it. Like,
yeah, exactly. That's all you have to say. Is like, hey, no, that's not what I go by, but this is what I go by. And just as simple as that. And I just,
yeah, like, that goes a long way, because mm-hmm. It's funny this is being brought up, because, well, funny I'm bringing this up because sorry, I'm like taking over here. What's wrong with me? You can tell I have a lot of pent up thoughts and whatnot. But this report came out by GLAAD. GLAAD is this organization that advocates for acceptance of the LGBT community, like, to the masses, basically, like, in a nutshell. And every year they release this report that shows, I guess, I don't want to say the approval ratings, but the acceptance ratings of LGBT community to the heterosexual masses. And that number has been going down over the past couple of years. Yeah, it has. And I'm like, well, shit, what the hell is going on? Like, you know, we have all the support, we have all this, we have all that and the third. But then when I think about my people, and by my people, I mean the LGBT community, I think about all of these people, you know, who I absolutely love, whether I'm really close to them or not, but they walk around, you know, and they're legit the poster children of discontent, where, you know, they're easily triggered about anything. And, you know, you have to take a step back and realize that your delivery of certain messages really affects the way that people perceive you. You know, so if you're walking around all angry all the time, people are going to be like, what the fuck are they so angry about all the time? Oh, I can't even talk to this person because they're going to snap at me. Like, that's the kind of shit that makes people not want to fucking like you. Okay, yeah. So right now, the LGBT community, like, we're less like than we were last year and the year before. So I would have to say that it has a lot to do with, you know, our delivery. It has to do a lot with the way that, you know, we carry ourselves sometimes. And sometimes, you know, the gays, we can be a little reckless. And I speak for everyone, okay? Whether you identify or not, we can be a little reckless and a little messy. And, you know, again, it goes back to what people's definition of normal is. And although there is no definition of normal, people don't accept things that are unfamiliar to them.
Yeah, if you feel like you aren't doing your best in the sense that you're not feeling a good point in your life and you need to talk to someone, just do it. And, you know, from there, get some support and make this decision that you need to make to just make your life better. And if you guys have any questions, you can email theupsidesfm@gmail.com. Again, I work with a psychiatrist, so, you know, any questions that you have regarding mental health, I can take to him and he'll answer them. I don't know if you guys want to add anything else.
No, I mean, I just want to thank you for, you know, giving us the time to be part of this with you and on this little journey and let everybody know, you know, how our experiences are. I mean, I didn't speak as much because I'm not really good at this, but I tried.
You did amazing, sweetie.
Yeah, you did a really amazing, good job. You did amazing, sweetie.
But, yeah, no, it's just whatever you're going through, just know you're not alone. And, of course, the typical cliche saying, you know, it gets better. don't ever feel that you are not worthy of living. Don't ever doubt yourself. You are loved. You are an amazing person. Just reach out. Don't be afraid to reach out. And that ends with that.
And then my closing statement, I guess, is you was smart, you was kind, you was important. you know, everyone matters. Like, shit's gonna get lonely, you know, at every stage of your life. And it's not because you came out or it's not because you embraced yourself, but, you know, like, it's just the roller coaster that is life. And that's okay, you know, like, don't feel like, you know, giving up is the solution, because legit it does get so much better.
It does.
It really does. Once you embrace your true self and people see that you've embraced, like, your truest form, like, not that you need to be validated by people loving you, but, oh my gosh, like, mm-hmm. You become such a stronger version of yourself that you didn't even know you could be. And, like, who the fuck doesn't want to be a stronger version of themselves? Like, come on. So, exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's it. You're loved. You matter.
You're doing amazing, sweetie.
You're doing amazing, sweetie.